If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. We have been discussing for many weeks the new covenant. The old covenant's the Old Testament. It pointed to Jesus. But the reality of the Christian life is in the new covenant. That is why the old covenant was given, to prepare the way for the new covenant. The writer has been talking and comparing the old and the new covenant, and the key word for Hebrews. You ready? Better. Better. You know, the Jews, when they saw the old covenant, it was wonderful. Paul said the law was holy, just, good. But we're learning that it merely pointed toward what Jesus would do. And in comparison, the new covenant to the old, there really is no comparison, because the old covenant, shadow, dust, obsolete, disappearing. How do you like that? Boy, that would have made some people upset in that day, because when there is change, guess what happens when there is change? There is resistance to change. Change is something that can threaten. But you should be so glad for the new covenant, because Jesus, under the new covenant, has granted instant access to His presence. Come boldly! That your sins are forgiven, that He is there interceding for you. As a matter of fact, so wondrous is that new covenant that there really is no comparison. But now in chapter 9, the writer is going to compare the old sanctuary in the old covenant and the new sanctuary in the new covenant. Because we have not only a better covenant, guess what? We have a better sanctuary. But it's not what you think. Oh, we're going to upset people this morning, because the Bible is going to change a lot of our thinking, because a lot of us are old covenant sanctuary and temple people. God has radically transformed it. And He starts out in verse 9:1 talking about the old tabernacle. Now, even in the first covenant, there had regulations of divine worship and the earthly sanctuary. There it is. See the word sanctuary? See that there? A lot of people in the new covenant will call this area here a sanctuary. Well, that's what they called it in the Old Covenant. Why? Because that's where God's presence dwelled. They had in that tabernacle, in that sanctuary, the actual presence of the Shekinah glory of God. It would lead the children of Israel, and they would follow it, and they would hold that ark where God's presence was. Can you imagine being the high priest on that one day, that you could walk into the Holy of Holies and there was that glory of God's Shekinah, that amazing presence of God? And guess what? It was holy because God was there. Amen. And so they called it a sanctuary. Amen. But notice also in verse 2. For there was a tabernacle. Woo! Two words. Sanctuary and tabernacle. You know what that tells you? The writer isn't referring to the temple in Jerusalem. Did you know that in Hebrews? There was a temple in Jerusalem when the book of Hebrews was written. But you know what the writer is referring to here? That tent. Not the temple. Now why would he do that? Because the only time in which Israel had the true presence of God with it was in that crazy tabernacle tent. In Ezekiel, we found out that because of the Israelite sins, God left. And he never went back. You know, in the day in which this was written, before the temple was destroyed, the physical temple, they don't know what happened to the ark. Now, movies tell us it's in a warehouse in Washington, but they don't know what happened to it, and it's a good thing. Guess what we do to a tabernacle? If we worship bones of saints, guess what we'd do if we had a golden ark? We all worship at McDonald's with the golden arches, but this is the golden ark. It's gone! The tabernacle's gone! And then God did a decisive thing. Even man-made temple in Jerusalem that Herod rebuilt, God had the Romans march in, and guess what? 70 AD, I don't know if I've told you this story, but in 70 AD, Roman soldiers were told when their Jews were rebelling, don't touch the temple. But soldiers are paid not only by their general, but a lot by the spoils of war. Somebody looked in the inside the Jewish temple, and besides all the dead bodies in the temple, they saw that the whole building was inlaid with gold and silver. Boy, they spared no expense in building that temple. And God's presence hadn't been in there since the glory departed in Ezekiel's day. And one of the soldiers, looking around, saw shekels in his eyes. Denarii, Roman money. And as they were walking through, they came in and they went into the Holy of Holies and the holy place. And guess what? There was no ark, or they would have stolen that. Do you know what was there in 70 AD that they had been using for centuries since they returned from the first captivity? There was no ark there. There was just a piece of rock where the original Davidic temple had stood. And for all those years, the priests had been throwing blood onto rock when they marched into the holy place because there was no more ark. And that soldier looked around. And all of a sudden, you know, soldiers, when you're in the heat of battle, you're not very careful at times. You got to watch your neck from someone else. And they accidentally kicked over the big, huge temple menorah that kept light in this area. It fell down. The olive oil spilled out. All of the tapestries caught fire. The gold and silver started melting. And the soldiers began to tear everything apart because that's how they got paid. They wanted the gold and silver. And just like Jesus said, every stone in that temple was obliterated and not one stone upon another as they dug through the crevices and moved the rocks to get at the gold. And that's a good thing. Because under the old covenant, you needed a temple. Under the old covenant, you needed a tent. Especially the focus is here on the tent that God gave specific directions to. But guess what in the new covenant? This is not a sanctuary. There's nothing holy here. Not a thing. There's nothing holy about those pews. There's nothing holy about those lights. call it a sanctuary. Because the new covenant has a new sanctuary. And guess who that sanctuary is? You. Do you know when this building becomes holy? Nora, what did you just say?
When we come in.
You could have a wanna circle in here. This is just a building. This is just a building. Look what the new covenant says. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. And coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected by men and by the sheriffs in Northern California. Don't mention the name of Jesus. But a choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house. Guess who the temple is now? You. You don't have to go to a physical temple in Jerusalem. You are the bricks of the temple. It is no longer needed for a physical temple that merely pointed to the true reality that God would dwell in His people. And you now offer up spiritual sacrifices. Listen to me. Physical sacrifices are finished. No more animals need to be tortured and killed. They had some people in Jerusalem that rushed up, were stopped because they were going to kill a goat, and they had to get special permission from the government to sacrifice a goat. They eventually got permission. That goat died needlessly because we've learned in Hebrews the blood of bulls and of goats cannot possibly take away sin. They cannot possibly be a memorial to Jesus. They have nothing now. They look forward, not back. He'd accomplished nothing but take the life of that goat. We offer spiritual sacrifices now. What would that be? Praise and dedication to the precious name of Jesus. But Peter's not the only one that says that. Peter's not the only one. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Let's go back to 5. Some of you are going to say, preacher, how are you going to grow this church? I'm not going to do anything. All I'm called to do is preach the Word of God faithfully. Which is, the Bible calls it, a foolish message. And that's what a preacher is called to do. All I'm called to do is preach a foolish message faithfully. Starting back in verse 5, what is then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed? I planted, Apollos watered, but what? God causes what? Take a look around. This church is scattered. Take a look around at the gaps in the seats. If you were coming into this church from somewhere else, what would you think about a church that had this many gaps in it? Something's wrong. See, people look on the physical level. God doesn't measure success by that. Nonetheless, that's why we need to stop looking at growth being caused by men. I planted, Apollos watered, but God what? So you want this church to be filled? Okay then. That is something you're going to have to ask God to do. See, preachers are often measured by success in terms of the growth. They didn't cause that growth. Matter of fact, I don't even understand how some churches even have growth with some of the preachers they have. But if you want to tickle ears, you can grow a church on your own, but God will never bless it. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's what? You're the sanctuary. You're the sanctuary. He's not done. Ephesians 2, 20 through 22. So you are no longer strangers and aliens, starting with verse 9 of Ephesians 2, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. You are God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus being the chief cornerstone of this temple, in whom the whole building is being fit together into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in spirit. Guess who the sanctuary is? You. I've heard people say, well, we can't bring coffee into the sanctuary. Nuts! You know, the devil takes what we want to do. We want to be respectful. But you understand, the way you respect the temple of God is living for the Lord.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with the fact. It doesn't have anything to do with coming into a sanctuary in a tie. You're welcome to do it if you want. Jesus said in the new temple, guess what? It's the heart and not the outward.
Amen.
But there's a lot of old covenant Christians, yes? They don't understand. I could wear shorts and be up here. I know what the history of that was. I woke up all the people who remember we used to have announcements in shorts in this sanctuary. You know what it said when they were looking for David? They were looking for a king. They saw this little runt. And they wanted David's brothers because they were twice as tall as David was. You know what God had to say to them? Man looks on the outside. God looks on the heart. You're the sanctuary. In the old temple that he's using right now, yeah, he had to go to a tabernacle. He had to go to a sanctuary. Listen to me. You are the temple. Which would you rather be? Someone that goes to a physical building that is a sanctuary, or actually be the temple itself? The new covenant is so much better. Let's go back. I've only begun to upset you in the Word of God. For there, verse 2, was a tabernacle. By the way, he's not talking about the temple. He's talking about the tabernacle that the Jews used for the 40 years of wilderness wandering. It was the only place where God's Shekinah glory dwelled. Now, His glory dwells in you directly. Now we have to know what was going on. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one. This is the holy place in which there was a lampstand. Why did you need a lampstand? Because you had to see what was in this place, this holy of holies and holy place. Was an inner part of the tabernacle, and it was tented with animal skins. And there were two parts to it, the holy place and the holy of holies. And when you walk into a tent, you need light. So the light was this menorah. By the way, the Star of David isn't from the Jews. Star of David is a perpetration, really, of fraud. The symbol of Israel has always been the menorah, the light. And that's where Jesus got the, I am the what of the world. And what he meant by that is every one of those people knew that in the holy place there was this beautiful menorah that lit up the area so that when the high priest walked in, and he walked in and went from that part to the Holy of Holies, it guided his way to God. You see, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he meant, I'm the only one that can show you the way to the true God. He was taking this. There was an outer lampstand and the table and the sacred bread, where there was this table in there. There was a menorah, one area, and then in this holy place, there was a table, and on it every day was freshly made matzah. Why in the wide world would God have freshly made matzah put on a table every day? It was to remind them that He supplied their every need. And Jesus took that to remind people, I am the bread of life. God was teaching them that all blessings that they had from food and everything came from Him. And there it was on that table. Every day they'd have freshly baked matzah put there to remind them. And by the way, one time in Israel, that was only for the priests. What would they do with that? They wouldn't throw it out. They'd give it to the priests at the end of the day. Guess what David did one time? He came in and he actually, because his men were starving, he actually took the bread and ate it because his men were starving. And then the priests that gave it to him were killed for allowing David to have it. So there was this bread. That's where Jesus gets these great themes. Bread and light. He was speaking that, what is he saying? These physical things pictured, painted spiritual reality. You see, God knows our limited understanding. So he actually had physical pictures of light and food to tell him, I'm the light and I supply all of your food. We don't want to make this rocket science. It's very easy. Then he says this. This is the holy place, verse 2. And behind the second veil, hey, there was this veil splitting this place in two in this tabernacle. You could go in as a priest into the holy place. But God said, put a veil, a block, a covering, so that you could not see what was in the Holy of Holies. There was a veil. And behind the second, there was the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense. Prayers of God's saints and the Ark of the Covenant. And let me tell you, when that priest one day a year got ready, they only went into that place one day a year. And the priest in Leviticus 16 had to take all day to clean up, scrub up, make sure his outfit was ironed and pure and that he had the right things to enter. Because if he didn't, that Shekinah glory was over that. Matter of fact, Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. In other words, they didn't prepare it the way God said, and God's presence struck them down. Jewish tradition says that after that happened, all high priests would have a rope tied to their leg. Because what would you do? The priest goes in, something's wrong, the Shekinah glory strikes him down. You can't leave the body in there, but who can go in? So you drag the guy's body out with the rope. You want a tabernacle? You want a sanctuary? Then you're going to have to bring blood and you're going to have to only enter the Holy of Holies once a year under the Old Covenant. Don't call this place a sanctuary. Remember what it says right now? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because Jesus already opened up that veil that separates. And in Jesus' day, there was no ark. It was just this piece of broken rock. In the New Covenant, right when Jesus said it is finished, tetelestai in Greek, which means paid in full, the veil ripped and broke. You know why? The way in to Jesus, to the very presence of God, was no longer blocked. You can be in the new covenant anywhere. You can be on the highway when your kids are learning to drive. By the way, I want Paul to know, if he comes in and sees my car parked like this, Sarah or Joshua did that, not me. They said, "Dad, I'm having trouble parking." I said, "Well, what you do is just park any way you want, because Paul will say, I did it." He doesn't know that you did it. You want your prayer life improved? Try 126 with these big semis and Josh is driving. Wouldn't help, but wouldn't hurt. You know what I mean? When Jesus Christ offered Himself, that veil completely removed. That means this: anywhere you're at, you can march into the very presence of God. And the thing is, you're the sanctuary, you're the holy part, and you can immediately be in the presence of God. Amen. Temples were merely pop-up books to point out the spiritual reality. You're the priesthood. Did you know that? This is a game that they've played with you in church history. God never intended for... You ever seen those churches where the preacher climbs up way high? And I've seen these in Europe, pictures of them. I've never been there. And they climb up, and the preacher's way up there. That's not so you can see him. That's to tell people that the clergy, whatever that means, and the laity are completely separate. We're in charge, you're not. Tell you something, every preacher needs to be down here, because you all are a priesthood sanctuary. You. There's equality. This, I guess I'm up this high because you can see me. But don't you understand? You are the temple. You are the ones, a spiritual priesthood, offering the sacrifices of praise. And they've done a number on people. Because, you know, the more clergy to stay in power have to wear magic outfits. Black. Put on the massive cross. Let everybody know, I will intercede for you. Nuts! Priesthood of all believers. That was never meant to be this way. And when God returns, when Jesus returns, He's going to really do some whooping up. You know, that's why Pastor Dave will not wear a tie or look too fancy in the pulpit, because when the preachers do that, whether they want to do it or not, intentionally, unintentionally, they're sending a message: I'm above you, I'm different than you. No preacher is. We have 8 elders here. The only difference between them and me is, I spend my full time in this where they have other jobs. That's the difference. There's no other difference. Call the preacher! You know why we're doing that? Which you can, and I'll gladly be there. But it's because we're so used to the priest idea. Get the priest. Like as if me has anything special that could somehow, God would listen to my prayers before yours, is nonsense. Because you are priesthood of all believers. All the elders, all the people have immediate access. There's no such thing as this, well, he's the clergy. They won't even give me parking at hospitals. That's good. In Alabama, it was always, I could get in there Sandy won't let me have cash, so I have to have debit card. And they didn't have in those days debit cards. But I'll tell you, in Alabama, you could always go into the hospital and go, oh, I have no money. And then you'd have to go up there and you go, clergy. And they wouldn't even ask me for a card or anything. I could get in and get out. Not in California. You go clergy to them, they go, so? Your love can't buy me anything, I want money. There was not to be those distinctions. Jesus said, the greatest of you shall be a what? Good luck with that. That's why some clergy will wear on their clergy, on their car, it'll say clergy. Why? They want special consideration. I'll tell you what you give them. Nothing! Priesthood of all believers. See, this is how the new covenant changed things. This is not a sanctuary. This is a building. We could bring in bistro tables. You could enjoy a cup of coffee while Pastor Dave preaches. God doesn't care about those things. Oh, that's radical to some. Why? Because we've been taught the wrong things by a professional class of clergy that have clouded the Word of God. You're priests in this. Oh, but we're not done upsetting you. And I'm almost out of time. Having a golden altar of incense, the Ark of the Covenant on all sides, which was gold, a golden jar holding manna, and Aaron's rod, which budded, and then it had the Ten Commandments. You're under one commandment. Do you know what that is? Love. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? Keep my commandments. You don't need an ark. It has no power to destroy Nazis. It is not a receiver to contact alien creatures. That's what they all say about this. It's crazy. That's nuts. It was a symbol that God's presence, His Shekinah glory, would go with His people. Guess what? Now He indwells you. His Shekinah glory is here. And above it were the cherub. We'll get to the cherubim because I don't have enough time. But the Bible sure sheds a lot of light on bad theology. And he's trying to tell us that the old covenant, it was nice, but it was so yesterday because of the greatness of the new covenant.